Hello, this is John Gibirdi speaking. Live in Morecambe right now. Originally a Prestonian. Moved to Morecambe about 12, 13 years ago. And got into open water swimming, sort of by accident. I was always into running. Picked up a few injuries. And I think I took up pool swimming to find something else to do that wouldn't cripple me. With very limited success. It was a very frustrating time going to the pool. The fitness I had from running didn't translate into good swimming. And I think one day I was cycling up near the River Lune at Halton. And I just happened to find this spot where I sat on my bike looking over the river. And I thought, I wonder if you could swim in here. I can't remember if it was that time. It might have been the time after, but I did have some shorts on and I got in the water. It was very shallow, but I was still very scared. I'm very nervous swimming back then outside. But that's how it all started. And preparing for an event I'd entered called the Great North Swim that someone told me about. But I think the point of this talk is to introduce a bit of humour, really. I mean, I know a lot of people talk about the mental health benefits of outdoor swimming, which I'm sure nobody would argue with. You know, there's the physical and mental health benefits you get from outdoor swimming. Just that feeling of being wide awake and rejuvenated. I'm sure most of us understand that. I would say everything I've learned in open water swimming, for the most part, I've learnt by doing it all wrong. Probably a mix of being stubborn, not wanting to be told by anybody, a lot of not listening at the beginning, and just thinking I could do it all my own way. But I suppose looking back, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't change anything. I have learnt how to do it, I think, for the most part, properly now. Grown up a little bit with it, but probably learned everything by doing it wrong. So, you know, hard learned lessons, really. I think what I probably thought in the very beginning, I was about proving something. Mainly with all sports I've done, running as well, it's usually always been about proving something to myself rather than others. But I can remember one day, pretty early on, I'd gone down to the River Lune, a place called Crooker Lune, where the river's, it's got like a bend in the river that's shaped like a farmer's crook. I think that's where the name comes from. But I'd gone, and I think it might have been February, and like you do, I'd gone down, and I was attempting to get in the river in just a pair of shorts. I'm sure it can't have been much more than 5 degrees that day. And I remember going, getting on the riverbank, just about to strip off. And there was this mum and dad and two little kids. And the dad looked at me like I had three heads. And he says, "You're not getting in there, are you? It'll be bloody freezing." And I said, "Well, there's only one way to find out, isn't there?" And he just shook his head. But then they were watching me and I thought, well, I can't be seen to be a bit of a wimp now. I've talked about it. So straight in, swimming around, and it was freezing. You know, I was pretty new to it. And I'd gone in winter, freezing cold, just a pair of trunks and my goggles and a swim hat. And I think looking back, yeah, I was after proving something. Proving I was tough enough to, you know, tolerate the cold and prove I could do it. I'd seen things about other people swimming long distances and overcoming the cold and what's the that mind over matter sort of stuff. And I thought, I can do this. So I think after about 10 minutes, I was just considering getting out, and I got this sort of warm glow all over me. felt like almost like a warm halo surrounding my body. And I thought, hey, this is good. It's a sign that now I've acclimatised and I can do anything I want. So I stayed in probably another 10 minutes. By that time, I was struggling and I got out and really struggled to, dress myself. Probably looked like a bad rehearsal for Riverdance. Quite an apt name, really, as I was on a riverbank hopping about trying to put my socks on. And I remember, if anyone's been up to the Crookaloon near the river, near the Riverloon, Crookaloon, at the top near the car park, there's a wood cabin that sells drinks and food. And my first thought was, I'll jog up the hill, you know, and get something to eat and a hot drink and I'll be fine. And I remember getting to the top of the hill, couldn't feel my feet, they just felt like numb blocks of ice. And when I saw that the cafe was closed, I almost broke down crying. Felt quite emotional, which is totally not like me. And I thought, there's something wrong here. I'm nearly in tears about a cup of tea here. And I thought, well, better drive home. You can see that my planning and preparation was spot on back then. So I drove home, and when I got to the main road, this dual carriageway, it was a very strange feeling. It was almost like my mind and body were sort of separated from each other. I was driving down this road with ice cold, numb hands, laughing hysterically, feeling very spaced out, not really knowing what was going on. And I remember like some sort of question formulating in my mind, and it said, who's in charge of this car? And the answer was, I don't know. And I remember getting home and my girlfriend having a go at me, telling me I'd been very stupid and that my lips were blue and I'd never be doing open water swimming again. I think I told her I would be doing it again. But she said I had hypothermia. And I definitely felt like I had. I remember sitting under a pile of blankets for about an hour. Anyway, even though it was very stupid what I did, you know, I totally acknowledge it. It was this, looking back, I didn't know any better. But it was stupid, irresponsible, dangerous, all those things and more. But the main thing is, it was a learning experience. You know, I've never had hypothermia again. I've always, since that day, sort of known, gauged my limit very well. Known when I've had enough. You know, to be honest with myself, if I've had enough, I've had enough. But I suppose it was about proving something. And it did prove something. That if you go swimming in cold water, the water will always win in the end, you know. No matter how tough you think you are. And, you know, all these things I've done. Looking back, there's an element of humour in them and silliness and stupidity. You might be able to laugh at now, but, you know, it is important to be careful and safe. I mean, back then, because I wasn't swimming with anybody and I wasn't in touch with any group, I didn't know all the ins and outs of it back then, and I was guessing. And as you can see, not guessing very well. So that was one in a long line of silly things I did. I remember another time swimming at Dennybeck, a bit further downstream, at Riverloon again. And some of the swims and dips I did were just short little things before work. If I was working, I'd nip down to the river beforehand and have a quick dip. And I remember one day, going down, sat in the car, and this day I really wasn't feeling it. Might have been something to do with when I looked on the car's readout, it said -1 degree outside. And again, I was going to be going dipping in the river in just a pair of trunks and a swim cap. And I think it took about 20 minutes of inner dialogue and arguing with myself. And I kept telling myself, come on, you'll feel great when you get out. And I think in the end, I got out of the car and did my walk down the icy path. Quite a weird walk when you're walking on an icy floor with bare feet. It was like probably watching Tina Turner walking over drawing pins. It was a very strange walk. And one thing that's always seemed to happen to me at the River Lune at Dennybeck, every time I've gone in on a winter's day on my own and it's freezing cold and I don't want people to see how wimpy I look getting in, a rowing boat full of rowers always turns up. I'm just getting in like panting and sort of swearing to myself and and this one of those skull type boats pulls up with about eight young lads and girls on it and they all just look at me like, "What are you doing?" And then I just try to look back at them really relaxed and normal, like, "Hey, everybody's doing this." And they're not, it was just me. But I think that day I did about 5 minutes. I'd learned my lesson, didn't stay in too long. But then when you get back to the car park, I mean, trying to get dressed, trying to put your socks on when you're freezing cold. And then later on, I was sat in the car, got the shivers big time. And I remember sat in the car with a hot drink in my hand, shivering so much, my wrist was jumping all over the place. My hands shaking, spilling the drink all over myself. And people were walking past my car, and I thought, God, that probably doesn't look good. There's a guy sat in his car on his own, bouncing up and down, shaking his wrist up and down. He's laughing to himself. And there's liquid flying all over from his drink. And I just thought, oh my God. What are they going to think, these people walking past? So, yeah. The River Lune, there's been plenty of crazy things happened on there. I think, what was it, another time when I was swimming down near the Aqueduct Bridge. I'd got in, and back then, like I said before, I was a very nervous swimmer. I'd swim from this little wooden pier to the Aqueduct Bridge. I think it was 50 metres max. And that was a trial doing that. I'd be thinking all kinds of things. And I remember one morning, got in the water and I thought, what if I go the other way? Not towards the bridge, but downstream. And I think I swam about 10 metres and all of a sudden my hand hit something underwater, some submerged metalwork. As I turned to swim out of it, after having smashed my hand on something, the strap from my tow float got tangled around this metal and I was shrieking and screaming. And I did manage to untangle myself, obviously. But, I got out pretty soon after that. Another time, not long after that, I'd got the nerve up one day to swim up to the bridge and under it and back. And back then, I didn't always have a wetsuit, and I think it was summer, so one day I'd usually take some sort of like Lycra running pants, a Lycra top, and I'd wear a swim cap and goggles, and I'd put a tow float around my waist. And I think this day I'd swam under the Aqueduct Bridge, and I think I recall as I went under the bridge, I'd looked up and seen someone looking down, like I often did, get people pointing and shaking the head. And I remember this day, swam back to this little pier and got out, and this young woman with two kids and two dogs ran up looking very concerned and worried, and she shouted out, "Are you okay?" I said, "Yeah, I'm fine. What's the problem?" And she said she'd looked down from the bridge and she thought she'd seen an animal struggling in the water wrapped in plastic or something. And she'd run down to see what was happening. And the animal that she thought she'd seen wrapped in plastic struggling was me swimming, which didn't make me feel too good about my front crawl technique. But I told her I was fine. And she said, it was really nice of her. She was a really nice woman. She said, I saw someone or something struggling. I was going to jump in and try and help you. And I said to her, can you swim? And she said, no, I can't, but I was willing to try. And I said, well, that's really nice of you, but please don't ever jump in, particularly as you can't swim yourself. You've got two little kids here and dogs, and they need you. So don't jump in for me, please. So, yeah, that's another crazy thing that happened. Let's have a think. What else have I done? Sometimes, going back to the cold theme, I mean, in winter sometimes I used to go swimming in the sea, really cold days. And on the coast here in Morecambe, when it's really cold, you've not just got the cold water to contend with, but you've got the wind chill. The wind's blowing in. You get out on a winter's day, your skin's stung by salt from the sea. You're walking across the beach at the end, getting, it's like a sandstorm, cold, icy sand blasting your skin. You just get out and it was absolutely horrendous. And I remember this day, I got out and I was so cold. Probably struggled to open my car door, quickly got dressed. And I remember thinking, I'll go to Morrison's and go in the cafe and get a drink and have a shiver, maybe get something to eat. And when I got in Morrison's, I was so cold. I went and looked at myself in the mirror in the bathroom, and I just looked like a whitish grey colour. And I thought, oh God, this isn't good. I remember just sitting down against the wall under two of those hand dryers and just letting the air come over me, blasted myself with hot air from the hand dryers for about 10 minutes just to warm up. And I was well aware of the fact that if somebody came in the toilets, they'd probably think I'm homeless or a tramp or something. But at the time I was past caring, so I did sit there for about 10 minutes to warm up. But yeah, there's been crazy times in the sea as well. When I swim, I have to swim with earplugs. The sound of the water bubbling past me is, I don't know why, I can't tolerate that. But more than that, I get very dizzy if I get water in my ears. So since I've been outdoor swimming, I've always had to wear earplugs. I remember one day swimming in the sea in Morecambe, I loosened one of my earplugs off to hear what someone was saying, and I dropped it in the water, and I looked down, couldn't see it. So I thought, I'll swim back breaststroke so I don't get any water in my ears. And then stupidly thought, hey, it might have changed. I'll try to swim front crawl. Might be different today. So I tried to swim front crawl, got water in one of my ears where I didn't have the earplug. Felt a bit dizzy. Thought, I wonder if it'd be better if I take the other one out. I took that out and dropped it. And then I started feeling very disorientated. So I breaststroked into the beach and I stood up and I just keeled over flat onto my back. Must be something to do with my ears and balance. I fell over, got back in the water, tried breaststroking, but I just got out in the end. It was pointless. But there have been times when I've turned up at the beach to swim back then and looked in my bag. What have I forgot? My earplugs. So I think one time I went in my bag, had a sandwich wrapped up in a plastic bag. So I remember just tearing two pieces off, rolling it into two balls and shoving that in my ears. Probably not the best thing to do, but it sufficed and got me swimming. So yeah, I actually made some earplugs out of bread wrappers, which is just a bit silly, but it's just something I had to do. Let's have a look. Just thinking about what else I've done. Lots of things. I mean, at the beginning, I was a very nervous swimmer, but every now and again, I would do something, I don't know, out of the blue, quite risky. I remember one day driving to Felfoot Park at Windermere. Again, this is how silly it was. On my own, I wouldn't do it now because I know, but at the time I wasn't in touch with a group, didn't really have any swim buddies or anything like that. And I remember I'd driven to Felfoot Park, the far end of Windermere, and again, not even in a wetsuit, I'd gone with my Lycra running pants, my top, put my tow float on, feeling a bit brave, you know, thought I'll get out. Swam up the lake. I don't know how far I'd gone, half a mile, something like that. And I saw one of the ferries coming down the lake. And I remember it going past, some people waving at me, some people looking a bit sort of bemused. And when the ferry went past, it left a bit of a wake, disturbed the water. And I think it was only then when I started being moved about by this wake off this boat, I thought, oh my God, I'm a bit far out here. And it was like a panicky breaststroke back to, you know, back to the shallows. But, you know, there were times in the river when I wouldn't even do 10, 20 metres because of being scared. But that day I'd gone way out of my comfort zone. But then again, I suppose it was all part of learning. But, you know, there's been so many ups and downs with it. It was only last year, I think, I entered to swim Coniston end to end and I had to pull out. I messed up my entry, didn't put down my estimated mile time, so they estimated for me, which was way too fast for me. And I think after a mile, I ended up pulling out with a sore arm, feeling tired, fed up. Just couldn't keep up with the other swimmers, cramping my arm. And no matter what I did that day, I just could not get my head in the game. And I had to pull out. I was very disappointed. You know, but I suppose, like everything, it was a good lesson. Next time, put the right estimated time down and prepare yourself for it. I think that's one thing I've always been very good at, is talking myself into things and convincing myself that these things will be easy. You know, I don't know. None of these things have been easy, but I seem to have, that's one superpower I seem to have. I get this internal dialogue going where I say, oh, of course you can do that. No problem at all. And then I get there and I think, oh God, what have I signed up for here? You know, when I signed up to do the length of Windermere swim, I'd convinced myself. I think that was one of the only events I ever did where I turned up with no nerves at all. You know, got there, I've prepared, I'm trained, I've eaten the right stuff, I've brought all my food with me. Oh, it's going to be so easy. And after about 400 metres, I remember thinking, I need to put my hand up and get pulled out of here. You know, all that confidence and being self-assured, and after 400 metres, it's falling apart. Quite funny. Right, what else have we got? I did write a few ideas on a scrap of paper, but probably gone through most of them. Can't even read my own writing now. Yeah, I mean, apart from all these silly things that I've learned from, you know, I do like to keep repeating. It's not big and it's not clever, you know, and nobody should copy the way I did it. I mean, I did it all wrong. Did it in a very sort of backwards, crazy way. Made a lot of mistakes. I'm just glad that I'm still alive and I've learned from them. And I might be able to pass on some bit of knowledge to new starters, not to do it the way I did it. There's been a lot of good times, though, you know, meeting loads of cool and friendly people to swim with, you know, doing some great scenic swims up and down the river and the coast of Morecambe Bay. I remember one time when there were maybe two or three of us swimming down the River Loom, And a couple of hundred metres down, we could see this big group of swans tucked into the riverbank. And there was a bit of discussion as to what we should do. I've never had any problems with the swans on the River Lune. I don't know if they're a different breed, but they usually seem quite friendly and happy to share the river with us. As long as you stay away from them and give them plenty of space, I've never had any issues. There's usually one of them that'll come over and have a look at us, but I've always found that if you give them respect and, you know, don't make too loud noises and swim away from them, they're usually quite happy to share the water. But this day, I think there must have been, we counted when we got there, 12 swans. And I think we decided that we'd swim up slowly and give them plenty of space. And just before we got to them, they all swam out in front of us in a line and swam down the river in front of us like they were escorting us. And it was really cool, you know, how they just sort of accepted us in their space. And yeah, it was a bit like we were getting an escort off them. Years ago, and funnily enough, only yesterday morning, we've had kingfishers fly over our heads while we're swimming down the loon. Always a great sight, see the kingfisher out. There's always quite a lot of herons down the stretch where we swim as well, some quite big ones. Cormorants. It's coming to the season now where you get some quite big salmon jumping out of the water. Always quite good to see. So there's plenty of natural beauty where we go swimming. And like the swans, never had any issues with wildlife there. You know, try not to disturb anything too much and be respectful and share the water with all these creatures. But in the sea in Morecambe, we've seen a seal a couple of times, which has been affectionately named as Sammy the Seal. I think I've seen Sammy maybe twice while I've been swimming. Again, like the other creatures, it seems curious about us, but seem quite happy to share the water with us and watch us from a distance. Probably wondering what the heck we're doing. But yeah, Sammy the Seal's been seen a couple of times in Morecambe Bay. He's, to my mind, he's always been on his own. We haven't seen multiple seals. We've only ever seen one, I think. Whether there are others around somewhere that are just hidden, we don't know. But good to see. And I think one of the other things about wild swimming that I've really enjoyed over the years, especially being part of the group now that we've got, is that we've been able to do quite a lot of fundraising for charities. I think we've probably raised over £1,000 for the local RNLI over the years, which has gone directly to the Morecambe branch to support them and all the good work they do, rescuing people and risking their lives. I think we've probably raised nearly on £1,000 for local food banks, a few hundred pounds for a local counselling charity. I'm trying to think if there's anything else we've raised money for. At the moment, raising some money for a disabled children's charity. I mean, that's not why I got into swimming or what the group was founded for, but I think if you can combine the swimming and raise some money for a good cause, you know, whilst you're doing it, then why not, if it can be done, you know, help those less fortunate than yourself. And there's always been lots of very kind people who've been willing to donate and take part in that, so that's great. And I think that's the one good thing about being in a group for wild swimmers. It's sharing the fun of it, being able to pass on ideas, learn a lot from other people, which I've definitely done. And I don't know, one thing I think when I'm setting up a group is I've always been quite distrustful of people in power. Just power in general. I've worked at a few places over the years where I see people get into power and it sort of goes to their heads and they start pushing other people around and don't like that sort of thing. So I think when I was thinking of starting a group, I definitely didn't like the idea of being in power or being in charge of anybody or anything. And I still don't. I don't want that. I don't know. I quite like the idea of thinking that in the group I'm in, everybody's an equal shareholder in it. Everybody contributes to the overall quality of it and how good it is. You know, everybody puts into it and takes from it, and I think that's what makes it a great group to be in. And hopefully long may it continue. Hopefully there's lots more exciting swims to come. You know, we've identified a very good couple of mile stretch of the River Loon where we can swim up and down. Maybe one day we'll identify some new stretches where it's swimmable. And I think now we're up to about maybe four, possibly 4.5 miles of stretch of Morecambe Bay that we've sort of mapped and are able to swim up and down, tides and times depending, of course. But yeah, we've definitely, between us, identified lots of good swimming spots. And we're able to share them with other people, which is great. And I can finally, well, I don't know. I don't know if I'd go that far, but sort of say that I'm an almost competent wild open water swimmer. I finally have some idea what I'm doing. It doesn't always go right, but I think as long as you learn something from it, that's the main thing. So that's what I'm going to keep doing. Thanks for listening, guys.